Okay, today's daf is Samach Aleph. We're going to start back some things about yesterday that I forgot that I wanted to mention. In terms of this issue of the Kedusha, we talked about yesterday that there was a machloket, is the Kedusha Rishona, the Kitshat HaMikdash, is it Kitshat Lati Lavo or not? So there's a Mishnah in Adrio, Perek Chet, Pasuk, Mishnah Vav, which says, there's a machloket to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, very interestingly, Shamati Shemakrivim Afapi She'em Bayit. Okay, I heard, now why is it he heard? Because this is Adriot. Adriot is all rabbis saying testimonials of things they heard. So we heard Shemakrivim Afapi She'em Bayit. Ve'ochlim Kodshe Kodshim Afapi She'em Klaim. Okay, you can eat Kodshe Kodshim even if there's no mechitzot, because usually you need the mechitzot in order to tell you that this is the inside and that's the outside. Kodshim Kalim Umaser She'eni Afapi She'em Choma. You can eat kochim kalim. That was our whole question. Can you eat maaser sheni? You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So he says, I heard that you do. That's his opinion. Rabbi Lezer disagrees with him, but that's his opinion. And very interestingly, right, Stacey pointed out that she saw a note that basically quoted the Rambam as saying that this is la halakha. And the Rambam in Hilchot Beit HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halacha Tev Vav, in fact says, Lefichach makrivim hakorbanot kulam af al pi she'em bayit banui. He says you can actually sacrifice, you can do sacrifices. Ve'ochlim kodshe kodshim b'kol azara af al pi she'i chareva ve'ena mukefet b'mechitza ve'ochlim kodshim kalim u'maser she'ni b'chol Yerushalayim af al pi she'en sham choma she'kdusha rishona kitsha l'sha'ata v'kitsha l'atid l'vo. Okay, so that's the first thing he says. Then he says, "V'lama ani omer b'mikdash v'Yerushalayim shekdusha rishona kedushatan la'atid lavo u'b'kedushat shar eretz Yisrael inyan shviyidu masro v'kevet tibem lo kitshat la'atid lavo." He says, "We actually distinguish." I said it the reverse yesterday, but he said we actually distinguish, and there is no kedusha for Trumot Masro. However, you might say, "Then why do we do it today?" So hold off. He says, "There's kedusha rishona, which is when they first the first Beit Hamikdash." Okay. So therefore, he says, "Lefisha kedusha hamikdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei shchina, v'shchina eina b'teila." He says that's all. It's a different thing. There are two different things. One is shchina based, and one is kibush haaretz, so to speak. V'harei omer v'ashimoti ed mikdashchem v'amru chachamim alfa pisha shomimim b'kedushatam imomdim. The darshan this pasuk that says, right, your mikdashim are going to be desolate, which seems they're still calling them mikdashim. So that means they're still kadosh. Aval chiyuv ha'aretz b'shviyidu v'masrot ela mipnei shehu kibush rabim. It's only if it's conquered by the majority. V'keman shenukacha ha'aretz miyideihem batel ha'kibush v'niftera min ha'torah min ha'masrot min ha'shviyid sharei eina eretz Yisrael. So once there's a churban, so it's no longer ours. Now here comes the last point, which is important. Why do we do it? Keman shala ezra u'kitsha lo kitsha b'kibush ela b'choska she'chziku ba. Ah, so they didn't conquer it. They had a chazaka on it, going back to Bava Batra, having a, what's the word? A chazaka on the land where you're just there and your presence. Okay? So then, since that's the case, so lefichal komakom shechziku ba'olei bavel, v'nitkadesh b'kdushat ezra shniya, harei mekudash hayom. Ba'af al pishin l'kachar etzmi menu. In other words, he has to explain why the kedusha came back and why it didn't go away again. So he says, then, wherever Ezra conquered, since they conquered Ayideh Chazaka, then it can't be taken away by Kibush. Once you have Chazaka, you have Chazaka. Just like 3 years on the property, you can claim it's yours. So it's not exactly like that. But anyway, he says, therefore, Alpha Pishnil Kharz Mimenu V'chayav Shvidu Masro La'derach Shabarenu B'hilchot Truma. Okay, and therefore, now there also you're going to get into, well, only places that Ezra settled in, and not places that, let's say, were conquered in Bayit Rishon, but not in Bayit Sheni. So he distinguishes between, and I like his distinction because there's a difference between the Shechina and either Kibush or Chazaka. Okay, there's a different way of doing it. The Ravid, of course, says about this, and now we have to go back to the first issue, which is, what do you mean? You could bring Korbanot? That's a crazy radical idea. Now, I don't think the Rambam actually thought anyone was actually going to bring Korbanot, but what's the really relevant issue? The really relevant issue is, why don't people go into Har HaBayit proper, where the Shechina was? And we always say, you can't go there because if you go Tameh, you get Karet. So according to the Rambam, if you go, you get Karet because the Kedusha is still there. The Ravid says, Ani Amar Avraham, that's always the intro to the Hasagot Arayvit, because his name is Avraham. Svarat Atzmo Hizo, Velo Yadati Me'ayin Lo. I have no idea where he gets this from, okay? The Kesef Mishnah proceeds to prove exactly where he gets it from, and one of the sources he uses is that Mishnah in Adio, and says, well, Machloka Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua is wins, and some people, anyway, there's a whole debate. I'm not going to get into all the details. But he says, and he quotes some other sources, it says in the Mishnah, I actually wanted to find the source, but I never chance. But he says, B'kama kom up in Mishnah, it says, im ein mikdash yirkav. I guess that means that, you know, he thinks there's no kedusha. Yirkav is rot. So I don't know exactly what the context is there. And then he quotes some other sources that seem to indicate not. And therefore, the last words are, L'ficha ha-niknas ata sham ein bo karet. If you go there now, you actually don't get karet. Okay? So, anyway, it's a very, very interesting and relevant machloket, even though we say most of these things we're learning are not so relevant. This is very relevant. Okay, where were we exactly? So, we talked about yesterday was Avaye. Okay, we had yesterday that the whole question was, we started with when the Mizbeach is broken, so you can't eat kodshe kodshim, right? And then we said, they started with the Shairei Mincha, with a pasuk there, you can't eat the Shairei Mincha. Then they said, how do we know all kodshi kodshim? Because it said, ki kodesh kodeshimi. So that explained also any kodshi kodshim. And then they said, kodshi kalim minayin, and Abaye said, we get it from this drasha. And he compared, just remember, he compared Maser Sheni. By the way, I wasn't sure yesterday, I was a little bit back and forth. Maser Sheni is kodshi kalim proper. Okay, anything that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim is kachim kalim. So maser sheni, we learn from Bechor. Bechor, we learn because there's a connection. It says etamo yizrok, and you eat it lechat yelochla, something like that. Ubsaram yelecha, to eat. So we compare the eating to the blood. Just like you can't do the blood when there's no mizbeach, you also can't eat when there's no mizbeach. And since we compare, we say bechor can't be eaten, then there's a pasuk that makes a hekesh between bechor and maser sheni, also maser sheni, and therefore all kodshim kalim can't be eaten when there's no mizbeach, when the mizbeach is broken. So comes Ravi now. Kisalik Ravin, when Ravin came up, remember there were people who went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. When Ravin came to Eretz Yisrael, Amar al Shmate Kamei to Rabbi Yirmiyah, he said the same thing before Rabbi Yirmiyah, the kodshim kalim can't be eaten when there's no mizbeach, when the mizbeach is broken. Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to him, Bavlai tipshai, you stupid bavlim, you don't know anything. Tul di yatve ba'arach hashocha, now he's going to give a reason why they don't know anything. You live in a dark land. Amre shmata de machashka, you therefore say dark things. Dark means amum, you know, it's you don't know what you're talking about, basically. We've talked before about the tension between Babel and Eretz Israel. This is a clear indication of having some tension between them, and his therefore much very negative language. So he says, Lo shmialu, didn't you learn this braita haditanya bishat siluk masaot kodashim nifsalim vizavim umutzaraim mishtachim chutz lemichitza. Okay, this vav is really like a but. Okay, so now, what's the first braita? We're going to see two braitot. The first braita is going to say, we're going to see two contradictory braitot, and Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to explain the contradiction in a particular way, which shows that kodshe kodshim can't be eaten when there's no mizbeach, but kodshim kalim can, in fact, be eaten when there's no mizbeach. Remember the difference. Kodshe kodshim have to be eaten within the walls of the Asava, and kodshim kalim have to be eaten within the walls of Jerusalem. So he says, when they were doing the camping, right, and they took apart the camp, and they were traveling in the desert, so kodshim nifsalim, okay, the kodshim would be pasul, but zavim umetzaraim eshtachim chutz lemechitza, but we would still have boundaries. This isn't so important for our issue, but the point is, tzaru and zav have to be taken out of the machaneh, right? The zav out of machaneh Livia, and the tzarua outside the machaneh Yisrael. So we'd still have those rules in place, even though the Mishkan was being taken apart. So we still had this concept of camping, you know, who was in what camp and where people could be. But the main important part for our purposes is kodshim nifsalim, which is, right, they can't be eaten. V'tanya idach, b'shnei mekomot kodashim ne'echalim. You can already see why this is open to interpretation. What is the shnei mekomot? So shnei mekomot kodashim ne'echalim, we assume that means right now, that shnei mekomot means when the camp was moving and when the camp was in one place, okay? And when the Mishkan was set up and when the Mishkan wasn't set up. So whether it's set up or not set up, Kodeshim Nechalim. So one place it says, Kodeshim Nifsalim, B'siluk Machano, Raso, when they're traveling. And one says, you can eat it in both instances. Again, that assumes Shnei Mekomot means what I'm saying it means, okay? So the first interpretation that Rabbi Yirmiyah says, and therefore goes against what Ravin and Abaye said, right, that Kodeshim Kalim can't be eaten when there's no mizbeach. My love, habakotchim kotchim, habakotchim kalim. The very easy, simplest way to describe this contradiction, to resolve this contradiction, is to say, oh, when it says they can't be eaten, it's talking about the higher level, kotchim kotchim. When it says they can be eaten, it's talking about kotchim kalim. So now we're going to have a few answers. Amar Ravina, idi bekotchim kalim. You could explain that they're actually both talking about kotchim kalim. Velo kasha, ha Rabbi Yishmael, ha Rabbanan. One holds like Rabbi Yishmael, one holds like Rabbanan. What's Rabbi Yishmael? That was our source yesterday, who said that we make the hekesh, and this is specifically why I repeated it this morning, we make the hekesh between in Bechor, right? We say, just like the dam can only be done when there's a mizbeach, also the basar can't be eaten only when there's a mizbeach. Right? Remember, Bechor is Kodeshim Kalim. And then we learn from there to Maaser, right? We said, oh, and then the same thing is true for Maaser. So if Rabbi Yishmael says it, it must be Chachamim disagree. So Rabbi Yishmael says, we make this Hekesh, and therefore Kodeshim Kalim can't be eaten when there's no Mizbeach. And that one Braita matches that, that they're Psulim. The one that says you can eat them is talking about Kodeshim Kalim, just according to Chachamim, who think that only the Dam, right, with Bechor, it's just the Dam that can't be eaten. But we don't make this hakesh to the basar. Right? We don't compare it to the basar, and the basar, in fact, can be eaten even when there's no mizbeach. It's just you can't put the dam in the mizbeach. But if, let's say, the mizbeach broke, and you had already done the zrikat adam, and all you want to do now is eat, so you can eat it, because you don't need a mizbeach for that. That would be Rabbanan Shita. So that's one way of resolving the contradiction. So Rabbi Yirmiyah thought one brayta was kodeshim kalim, one brayta was kodeshim kodeshim. Ravina says, no, it could be both are kodeshim kalim, but reflect two different opinions. V'ibai dema, the reverse, we're going to have all three permutations. They could be hava hava koche kodshim. They could actually be both koche kodshim. How are you going to explain it then? Now we're going to change, not what, right? Of course, koche kodshim can't be eaten when there's no mizbeach, but the issue is, what does it mean b'shnei mekomot? Right? I was obviously setting that up when I said it, right? The b'shnei mekomot, it's not so clear what it means. Umay b'shnei mekomot, and here we're going to have a bit of a difficulty with the girsa of our Mishnah, and Rashi should explain it not really l'fi pshuto, because the Gemara makes really no sense according to the pshat of the words. Habishnei mekomot kodem sheya'amidu levi'im et hamishkan ula'achar sheyifarku ha'levi'im et hamishkan. The Shnei Mekomot describes two stages that I would call interim stages. Every time they moved, they had to rebuild the Mishkan. So what the interpretation here is, before they put up the Mishkan, like the main boundaries of the Mishkan, but after the Mizbeach was already set up, okay? So it means that the Mizbeach was set up, but the Mishkan was not yet set up. So once the Mizbeach is set up, right, that's already, what they're basically going to say is, B'shnei Mekomot means the Mizbeach is up, just not the whole Mishkan. Either the whole Mishkan wasn't set up yet, or the Levi'im already perkut HaMishkan, but left the Mizbeach was still there. So it means that when the Mizbeach is actually still standing, even though other things around it are not, the borders of the Mishkan.
I should know this, but do we have an order that tells us
the order? So part of the problem with the interpretations here is that this doesn't match the order of the way it's supposed to be built. Normally, they would build the... Right, I want to make sure I have it straight, but they would build the... This is part of the problem with the interpretations. As you can see, there's a long tosfot on this page. So I have to just remember how it works, that the... one second. It's that the... Order of... One second.
They're also taking it down.
Right. So I think it's more of a problem the way they put it up, where there's a whole discussion here. One second, I want to find it. Right. Rashi, I'm going to do Etim Mishkan. Right, so Rashi, actually, I think I interpreted it the way Tosfot did, because Rashi says, Lav lachar shenasu dinisalek hamizbech alacham ina nevo mishkan natoy ke mishpshato. Chanam lachar shakurku. Right. As he says, the mishkan is still right. One second. Right. Rashi actually says it's when the mishkan and all the kelim are still in their place, which Rashi explains mamash lo lefi apshat. Okay. Kodem she'amdu yamidu aleviyim et hamishkan means the mishkan was still in place and everything was still in place. So then you have to explain it doesn't really make any sense according to the order, because the order was that they would do it here. Okay, yamidu parat hamizbech v'terem hespiku. One second. Right. Rashi, basically, the mishkan and the kala'im were always done first. Okay, so it wouldn't make sense that they put the mizbech and they hadn't put the kala'im in this. Tosot says it's just if they had messed up the order, then you would have the mizbech and you'd be able to do it, even though they did in the wrong order. That's part of the disagreement with that, about what, you know, what they disagree about. Okay. So now, now, what's the issue? Why would you think that maybe there's a problem here? In other words, so the mizbech is up, should be okay. So mao, then why do you specifically need to tell us this? Mao detema ifsalu biyotse ka mashmalan. If there's no borders around the mizbech, the kalei chatzer aren't there, or the walls aren't there, then you might have thought that what? Maybe it's yotse michutz. So once you have no borders to the azara, then anywhere outside the mizbech is going to be considered chutz. Kamashmalan, that's not the case. That no. There is, right, there is a din of, one second, according to this. Right, this is saying you can't eat it. So why can you eat it? There might be an issue of yotze. Oh, no, there isn't, okay? In other words, you still, there's imaginary borders, right? You know where the borders are supposed to be. So as long as you don't leave that area, then you're okay. But wait a minute, maybe really it is nifsal biyotze. So they say, maybe there really is no kodesh there. So what do they say? Amarkra v'nasa ol moed. Af al pisha nasa ol moed hu. This is the same thing we saw the pasuk before about they called it v'shamem mikdashchem or whatever it was, your holy place. It's still called a holy place even once it's desolate. That's what we talked about earlier, where there's kichal atilavo. Also, this is still called ol moed, even though it's moving or it's getting ready to move. So what does that show? That there's no psul, that it still has its holiness, and therefore you can, if the mizbech is there, then you can still, right, according to this, it's if the mizbech is there, right, then maybe there's no kedushat chatzer once you have no boundaries. No, there's still kedushat chatzer because it's still called Ol Moed. Because remember, Ol Moed is that whole area. That's what we call, that's why we kept saying Petach Ol Moed is outside the Heichal and the Ulam, which matches the chatzer of the Mishkan. So we're basically saying it's still called Ol Moed, that whole area, even if the walls are not there. You imagine there's kedusha there. Okay. Now we're going to have another thing. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. We're moving on to a different, still relating to the mizbechot, okay, but a different issue. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, mizbech shel shilo shel avanim haya. The mizbech of, we learned that the mizbech of Moshe was nechoshet, the mizbech of the Beit HaMikdash was avanim, was stone. What about the mizbech in Shiloh? So now, until now, what did we think? That the mizbech they were using until Shlomo, it sounded like, was the same one as in the time of Moshe. We had that whole source about how they took, right, they removed, again, Rabbi Yossi's interpretation was the mizbech HaNechoshet was no longer good enough because we were now putting in a new one. We were moving it out of, you know, it was fine. It was just we wanted to remove the Nechoshet and bring in a new mizbech of Avani. So now we're going to learn, in fact, though, according to Rav Huna, the mizbech in Shiloh was, in fact, made of Avani. Titania, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Matamud lamar avanim, 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 shalosh panim. Okay, I'll read you the three psukim. These should sound somewhat familiar to you. Shmo perakav pasukav bet. V'im mizbech avanim ta'aseli. If you make a mizbech of avanim, lo tibneet hamgazit, ki charbachai nafta alea v'techal alea. Right, you can't use iron implements in building it. Second one, dvarim kav zayin, hey. Ubanit hasham mizbech la'asham alokecha, mizbech avanim. Build a mizbech there. I assume the context of this is when you get to the land and you build a mizbech, right? You're supposed to build a mizbech. It's in Dvarim Kapsayim. Let's just look at the context. Right? When you get to Harival or, right? Right, when you get into Har Eival, when you cross the Yarden, we're told you're supposed to remember this. And you should write all Divrei Torah Azot. You should write, I don't know if you remember the section, it's a very interesting section. It appears in Yoshua when Yoshua does it. It's very interesting to make the comparison to what they were told to do and how they actually did it. So they were supposed to write the Torah. Right when you get there, blah blah blah, and then takimu tavanim ela sharanochi v'tzavcha yom b'har eval v'sadita otam basid u'banita sham is be'ach l'Hashem elokecha. By the way, this is one of the proofs, the main proof of the Shomronim, that the mikdash was supposed to be in Har Eval. Because look, here it tells you that's where you know when you get into the land, build your mizbeach there. Okay, and again it says lo tanif alehem barzel. Don't use barzel implements. Okay, third pasuk. Dvarim is the pasuk right after it says mizbeach avanim, and then it said avanim shleimot tivneh mizbeach Hashem. Okay, so it tells you avanim in three places, and again two are right next to each other. Why does it say avanim three times? So Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov darshin shalosh pa'avim, echad shel Shilo ve'echad shel Nov v'Givon u'Beit Olamim. This is a little strange because there's four. I'll talk about that in a minute, but view it as three categories. There was one that was the Mishkan. There was one that was used on these bamot gedolot that they had. Remember, when there was no central location, when the Mishkan was taken by the Plishtim, they had bamot in Nov and Givon, so they call that one because they weren't so important because they were only bamot temporary. It wasn't like the Mishkan. So we now know there was one Mizbeach in the time of the Mishkan in Shiloh, when the Mishkan was there, and presumably wherever the Mishkan went. There was one that they used on the bamot, the big bamot, when they didn't have a Mishkan, and the Beit Olamim in the Beit HaMikdash. So now we're going to have a problem with this. Mativ Rav Acha Bar Ami. So this is what Rav Huna says. Let's just get it straight. Rav Huna said it, and he supported it by using this bright of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Remember, Rav Huna's an Amora. He uses the bright of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov to show that here we have that there's three mizbechot avanim. Okay, so, Mativ Rav Acha Bar Ami. Eish sheyardam en hashamayim bimei Moshe. Lo nistalka me'al mizbach ha'nechoshet ela b'yimei Shlomo. Be'eish sheyardah b'yimei Shlomo, lo nistalka ad sheba menashe v'silka. Okay, what do we have here? That the fire that Moshe put on the mizbach ha'nechoshet, a fire came down from Shamayim, the fire was not taken off the mizbach until the days of Shlomo, which sounds very much like the mizbach ha'nechoshet was the one that was used straight. If the fire never went off the mizbach, then the mizbach was used straight until the time of Shlomo. And then, just to finish this, the eish that came down, then a new fire was needed for the new mizbeach. The eish that came down, b'yimei Shlomo, lo nistalka ad sheba menashe. Why menashe? So menashe, in Dibrei HaYamim, Perek Kaf Gimel, it says that menashe, there was a reform in the time of menashe. He did ara b'nei Hashem, but then he basically took the Bamot, right, it says, he banam mizbechot bebeit Hashem asher amar Hashem b'Yerushalayim yesh mi la'olam. He built new mizbechot v'yivim mizbechot l'chol tzvai Hashamayim v'shtei chatzerot. It says he built mizbechot. So it sounds like he must have gotten rid of the mizbechot at some point and then decided, you know, he was chozer b'tshuva and he decided to rebuild them. So it sounds like Shlomo's lasted until the time of Menashe, but then at that point there was a new one. Okay. So now, right, so the assumption was, since he rebuilt, it must have been he also took it out, which means that at that point when he took it out, that must be the end of Shlomo's fire. V'im'ita, now what is the relevance here? V'im'ita me'ikarahu de'istalik, right? If really the Mizbeach of Shiloh was made of stone, then it should have been gone earlier, right? It should have been that the fire of Moshe was already gone by the Mishkan time. Hu de'istalik le. So now we have a question on Rav Huna from this source, right, about this Eish. So now what do they answer? Hu d'amar ki Rabbi Natan. We say very simply, the Rav Huna held by a different Tana. Now this is a little strange. What would you, if you're going to say that he holds by a Tana who holds like him, what would have been the better proof to bring? Or we don't know yet what Rabbi Natan says, but we could have just simply said he holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whose opinion he brought. Right, he brought Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. You said there were three mizbechot of stone. If you say there's three mizbechot of stone, then obviously you think There's obviously two contradictory Tana'itic sources. So whenever, that's why I started by saying he's an Amora, the source he brought was a Tana'itic one. The question was asked from a different Tana'itic source. So we can answer by saying, well, that Tana'itic source is this, but I have a different one. So some people say the reason why they didn't bring Rav Elazar ben Yaakov as proof is because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was just saying in theory. The Pasuk said Avanim three times, saying in theory you could have had Mizbechot made of Avanim in three different places. However, in practicality, maybe that actually didn't happen. Okay, so that could be a possible reason why they don't bring Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So who do they bring? They bring Rabbi Natan. So they say he held like Rabbi Natan. Again, we're going to have two different ways of reading this. Titania, Rabbi Natan Omer, Mizbech Shel Shiloh Shel Nechoshet Haya, Chalul Umale Avanim. The Mizbech was Avanim, but it was also Nechoshet. In other words, either you say, okay, now there's two ways to read this. Either you say that Rabbi Natan also disagrees, and he thinks that they had a different Mizbech, and he says the Mizbech was some combination of Nechoshet and Avanim, right? It was the base was Nechoshet, the inside was Avanim, but it was a different Mizbech than the one of Moshe. In other words, Moshe was just Nechoshet, this one was Nechoshet and Avanim, and therefore, again, he has a Tana on which it supports his opinion. The other option is to say, actually, that that it was the same Mizbech, they just filled it with stones. So, and then the fire never went off it. They just filled it with stones underneath. So that's another interpretation. And then Rabbi Natan doesn't actually disagree. We can work then all the sources together. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we're now going to have another possible answer. My lo nistalka, lo nistalka levatala. Okay, what does that mean? It means, or actually I think they say, they change it to legamre maybe. Or, right, is that? Anyway, lo nistalka basically means It wasn't entirely disappeared. And they're now going to suggest that there were two mizbechot at the time. There was a mizbech of Nechoshet, and there was this mizbech of Avanim. So they had two things, and the fire was never really gone. So now they're going to explain Mahi. What does this mean? Rabbanan Amre, Sheviva Hava Mishadra. We're now going to have two interpretations of what exactly happened here. Either the mizbech of Avanim was the one that was used, the Mizbech of Nechoshet Shel Moshe was still there. The fire was always going. And when there were korbanot burning, it would throw sparks over, okay, to kind of help light up the fire so that there was some element of this godly fire that had come down in the time of Moshe that was maintained. This, by the way, is similar to other things we've talked about from Moshe that stayed. You can imagine this was an effort to kind of keep the holiness of Moshe going in people's minds, you know, whether it was in fact true or not. It was this concept that they wanted to show, like the Shemen HaMishcha was the same Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe had used in it last. You know, it's this image that they want to kind of keep the continuum going from Moshe. Rav Papa Omer, Ushbiza Havanaka, Zimnin Hacha, Vizimnin Hacha. The fire was like a guest. Sometimes it would go on one Mizbech, and sometimes it would go on the other. Kind of, it was a jumpy kind of fire. It would move from Mizbech to Mizbech. Okay, and then it looks like both were operational, and it would just be that it would kind of go back and forth. Now we're going to have another thing about the Mizbech. Tanan Hatam, we're now going to quote a Mishnah, which describes a different opinion about the Mizbech. We learned that the Mizbech was a base of 28 by 28, sitting on a base of another Amma out, right? So 30 by 30, another Amma on each side, of the Sovev, and then the final two Amma were the Yesod. The base, right? There was the Sovev, which was six amot high, where the Kohanim would stand and do the stuff, do the sprinkling on the upper part of the Mizbech. Then there was the Yesod at the bottom, where they would throw the blood for all the korbanot that would go at the bottom, and they would pour the Shirayim into the Yesod. Okay, today we're going to learn about those two circles. Okay, if you look at the Yesod, we talked about this. There's these two holes. Okay, they were actually not used. I might have said at some point that I thought maybe they poured the blood. It's not where they poured the blood. They poured the blood on the Yesod itself, but there are these two holes. Here, pass me one of the maps also. If you look at the Yesod, there's two holes on the southwestern side, Dromi Maravit. Okay, these two little circles, we're going to talk about what those are. Okay, so this Mizbech is 32 by 32, but square on top of square on top of square, right? Or the last one is not exactly a whole square, or we saw a machloket about it, because the Yesod is only on two sides, or maybe it's only used on two sides, but it actually is on all four sides. Anyway, now we see a bit of a different opinion. U'kisha'alu b'nei ha'gola, hosifu alav arba amot min ha'darom, v'arba amot min ha'marav. This is a Mishnah in Midot, and it says, according to Rabbi Yossi, okay, we don't have the whole beginning of it, according to Rabbi Yossi, The Mizbeach in Zman Bayit Rishon was 28 by 28 Amot, which included the Yesod and the Sovev, as far as I can understand. It included the Yesod and the Sovev, and therefore the Ma'aracha on top was 20 by 20. That's where the fire was, because remember, you need the space to walk around, you need the space of the Karnot, and then you need the two Amot of the Sovev, and the right, that takes away four Amot on each side, which gets you down 8 Amot altogether. So whatever it is, the Ma'aracha is going to be 8 Amot less. But when the Bnei Agolah came, okay, and by Cheni, they added 4 amot from the Darom and 4 amot min Amarav. They made it 20 by 20, but they added it kimingama, not the way we saw where they added these two squares at the bottom, right? They added an extra 4 amot. No, but in fact, the base was 28, and instead of everything being 2 amot on each side around, no, they added it 4 amot on this side and 4 amot on that side. That's 4 amot on the Darom side, 4 amot on the Marav side, off to the side, like a gama. We said a gama is like a chafsofit. In this case, it's a square, right? A chafsofit would go kind of a rectangular shape because it's longer on one side. Here it's the same on both sides, but that's the image. Okay. My time, so obviously, why did they add more, according to him, in the Bayit Sheni? I'm Rav Yosef, Mishum de lo sapak, right? The obvious answer is there wasn't enough space. Right? It's interesting. We saw before that Shlomo, right? Moshe's Mizbeach wasn't big enough for Shlomo, and now we're going to say Shlomo's Mizbeach for Bayit Rishon wasn't big enough for Bayit Sheni, according to this opinion. So Amar le Abaye, how can you have that? Hashem Mikdash Rishon, Dichtiv Bey, what does it say in Sefer Melachim? When it's in the time of Shlomo, right, there's these beginning prakim where they describe all the wealth of Shlomo and all the greatness, and it talks about how massive the people were. Yehudah v'Yisrael rabim kechol asher al hayam. Okay? They're like the sand on the water. Okay, that sounds right. We know that that's infinite, right? The numbers are infinite. And therefore, sapak mikdasheni. How do we read this? Dichtibe Yeshua and Sapak, right? And there, and yet it was enough. Mikdash Sheni, Dichtibe, Kol HaKal Ke'echad Arba Ribo. Lo Sapak. As we're going to say now, the people there, we can count how many they were. There were 400,000, and there's a bit more to the number there, but here, Echad Ribo, Alpayim Shlosh Meo V'Shishim. That's obviously going to be less than infinite. Okay, no. First of all, whether that's true or not, we know that when you say they were like the sand, it's just a way of saying they were, yeah. Many. Could be the many. It was less than 4 Rebo. But anyway, let's take it at face value. They say, how could that possibly be? Amarle, hatam esh min ha-shamayim misayatan. Hacha ein esh min ha-shamayim misayatan. There, it went so quickly because it was, in those, yes, there were tons of people. However, it burned so fast because there was a fire from the heavens. And that's what we got here, because we were talking about that fire of Moshe. So then the fire of Shlomo came down, which the fire of Shlomo didn't exist in the time of Bayit Sheni. How did they get that the fire didn't exist in the time of Bayit Sheni? There's a pasuk in Chagai that says, Chagai Perek Aleph, it says, Uvenu habayit be'ertzebo ve'ekabda amar Hashem. Right? This is talking about in the future, you'll build a bayit and ertzebo. Ve'ekabda. Now the hey in ekabda, ekabda means I'll bring my kavod, but it's missing the hey. So they darshan that there's five things that weren't in Bayit Sheni, and one of them is this Esh Min HaShemayim. Okay, so the Esh Min HaShemayim didn't exist, so therefore the Mizbeach wasn't big enough. Okay, and that's why they need more space on the Mizbeach to have a bigger Ma'aracha. Now they could have a 28 by 28 size, which is significantly bigger. Kiyata Rav and Amar Rav Shuma Ben Pazi Mishum Bar Kapara. Another thing we're going to now learn, shitin hosifu. They added these shitin in Bayit Sheni, these two holes that we see, okay, at the base of the yesod, at the tip, at the corner of the yesod, on the maravidromi side, the southwestern side. They added these two holes. So the question is, why, what they were for? Okay, they were for, we're going to see, they were for the nisachim. They originally had these cavities in the ground, for the nisachim. They would pour them into the cavities in the ground. But then in Bayit Sheni, they created holes that led to the cavities. Okay, so we're going to see why. Shiti no sifu. So meikara, why didn't they put them in the beginning? Savor mizbach adama, when it says mizbach adama ta'aseli, shuatum ba'adama. They thought it had to be totally solid. It had to be totally solid. Well, you can't make holes that lead down to those holes. So basically, you're going to have open holes in the ground where you pour into those cavities that go underground. Ulevasof savor shia ka'achila. Then they realized that no, shia is ka'achila. In other words, just like the achila gets absorbed into the mizbeach, Also, the shtiyah will get absorbed into the mizbeach, and therefore you could have these holes, and therefore they would pour them into here, and they would get absorbed into the mizbeach, and then absorbed into the ground. Umay mizbeach adama. So then, how did they darsh a mizbeach adama? Shu mechubar ba'adama. It had to be attached to the ground, but didn't have to be full. Shelo yivnenu alo al gabei kifin velo al gabei mechilot. We learned this, so you don't build it on these arches or on a tunnel underneath. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, lav hainu detanya v'yachinu amizbeach amachonotav, shigia l'sof midotav. Now he's going to ask this question. If you say that Bayit Sheni was bigger than Bayit Rishon, the mizbeach, doesn't it say that Shlomo built the mizbeach amachonotav, which sounds like higiu l'sof midotav, that he got to the biggest dimensions it could possibly be? V'haktiv hakobiktav miyad Hashem alai iskil. And didn't it say he got it from God, meaning he built it to the best specifications and the ideal ones that there were? So how could they have built it bigger? Elam Rav Yosef, kra eshkach v'darash. They found the pasuk and they darshed it. Vayomer David, zehu beit Hashem Elokim, v'zehu mizbach la'ola, li'Yisrael. Ki bayit. So they say, let me just read the whole pasuk. Vayomer David, zehu beit Hashem Elokim, v'zehu mizbach la'ola, li'Yisrael. Okay, so what are they darshin here? Bayit is compared to mizbach in this pasuk. Again, a hekesh. This is what the rabbis, when they built in Bayit Sheni, a bigger mizbeach. What did they say? Or as in time of Ezra, ki bayit ma bayit shishim ama af mizbeach shishim ama. So just like the space itself could be shishim ama, also the house, the mizbeach could be shishim ama, and that gave them the ability. Even though they say Shlomo built it to specifications, really he didn't build it as big as he could have possibly built it, and it actually could have been shishim ama.